Oh, heck no. Somebody might get hurt. Somebody besides them. Suvrin, go over there and tell them if they surrender in the next half hour, I'll let them go. If they don't, I'll kill them all before the hour is up. The fat man started to protest. Vigan poked his behind with the tip of a dagger. I told Suvrin, if they do anything to you, I'll avenge you.
That's a big weight off my heart.
Goblin asked, how are you going to avenge anybody, considering you're not going to go in there after them? That's what we have wizards for. This looks like a wonderful opportunity for you to give Tobo some on-the-job training. Am I surprised? Not hardly. For 100 years it's been, what do we do now? I don't know. Let's let Goblin handle it. I ought to just take a hike and let you figure it out for yourself. I'm tired. I'm going to sit down here and rest my eyes until Suvrin gets back. I heard Goblin tell Vigan to put another heavyweight fireball into the corner of the fortification, along the length of the wall, so all its energy would be spent devouring the pale limestone. There was a solid thump, swiftly followed by the smell of superheated limestone. As I drifted away, Goblin muttered something about burning them out. Chapter 64. The surface of the river was not friendly when Soulcatcher hit it, but neither was the impact like hitting stone from the same altitude. Her fall had been long enough to allow her time to prepare for the landing. Even so, the collision was brutal enough to extract her consciousness temporarily. But she had prepared for that, too, between curses. When consciousness returned, she was drifting downriver with the flood, head above the surface. It being the rainy season, the river was high and the current brisk. It took a great effort to complete the swim to the south bank. By the time she crawled out of the flood and collapsed, she was half a dozen miles downstream from where she had gone in, which was outside the city proper, in a domain best known for its jackals, of both the two- and four-legged varieties. It was said that leopards still hunted there at night. The occasional crocodile could be found along the shore, and it was not that many years since a tiger had come visiting from down the river. The protector experienced no difficulties with any mad or hungry thing. 100 crows perched around her, standing guard. Others flapped about in the darkness until squadrons of bats had gathered. Birds and bats together discouraged the scavengers and predators, till Soulcatcher awakened and, in a fit of pique, sent an entire band of jackals racing away with their pelts aflame. She stumbled toward home, regaining strength slowly, muttering about growing old and less resilient. A tremor entered the voice she chose to inveigh against the predations of time. Eventually she reached the home of a moneylender, where she commandeered transportation back to the palace. She arrived there somewhat after the breakfast hour, in a temper so foul that the entire staff made a point of becoming invisible. Only the great general came to inquire after her well-being, and he went away when she started snarling and snapping. Though she reveled in her paranoia, Soulcatcher did not suspect that her accident had been anything else until she examined her remaining carpet preparatory to another effort to fly off to entertain the Nuang Bo. Then she discovered that the light wooden frame members on which the carpet was stretched